Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM, to get all the updates on what's happening in the world that we're living in at the moment. And look, following encouraging signs of flattening out the curve, some restrictions will be eased in Queensland from next weekend. Social distancing will still applies, but we're giving the green light for summer. This is the Palaszczuk government giving the green light for recreational activities and extend at the distance you can travel from home. So from Saturday, May 2nd, you can go for a drive within 50 kilometres of your home, ride a motorbike, jet ski or a boat for recreation, have a picnic, visit a national park, shop for non-essential items. Outings are limited to members of the same household or an individual and one friend. All rules regarding social gatherings and limits on visitors remain in place. And also, they still will be closely watched the numbers of new infections and review the measures after 2 weeks. So people must practice social distance and stay within 50 kilometres of home. That's the measure. That's the message there from the Queensland Palaszczuk government. So there it is. So it's light at the end of the tunnel, but still adhere to the rules that are in place, mob. Too deadly. Add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
Have you ever tried to quit the smokes? For most of us, it's not a one-time thing. It's a journey where you quit and you quit again. And you think, every dollar I spend on cigarettes, I could be spending on something better. Or, my health improves the minute I quit. Visit Quit HQ to get all the tools to start your journey. Quit today, for you and for your family. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Yeah, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via news, National News Radio Service. So give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and the Exploitation of People with Disability is seeking information about the experiences of people with disability during recent emergencies in Australia, thanks to COVID-19. We're going to have a chat now with the Chair, Ronald Sackville, AOQC, who's on the line. Ronald, a very good morning. How are you?
Good, I'm well, thank you, and good morning to you, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your program.
Now, thank you so very much. Where are you based, Ronald?
I'm based in Sydney, but like most people working in Sydney at the moment, or at least with the Royal Commission, working from home.
Yeah, doing the best we can. And look, we are doing very good with here in Australia compared to other countries, so hats off to all Australians out there who are abiding by the rules. You are pursuing or seeking information about the experiences of people with disability during the recent emergencies in Australia to help support and to find out how people with disability are handling the COVID-19. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. What we did was on the 26th of March, we issued a statement of concern that we sent to the Commonwealth Government and to state and territory governments as well to express the concerns we felt about the way in which people with disability, including First Nations people with disability, were being treated during this emergency, which, of course, as you know, has created a lot of hardship for a lot of people.
Yes.
And we had heard through submissions and through telephone calls to our hotline that people with disability were feeling rather left out of the whole process of support and the people were concerned about a great range of issues, from not being able to access essential items like food and medicines, to losing, in some cases, the support services upon which they depended. So we issued the statement of concern mm-hmm. to express our view that it was very important for governments to look specifically at the situation of people with disability, including First Nations people with disability, and to address their concerns. And since then, I'm very pleased to say that there has been some action by government, which is very welcome.
Good, yeah, which is very important. So, and since the time that you put the concern out there to the government, then you would have also found in days ahead, and here we are coming end of April, that it was the case where the people with disability were struggling in this space, yes?
Well, we certainly had plenty of information to that effect. Some of it was from social media, where there was a great deal of commentary, as you probably know, about the problems that people with disability were experiencing, and a good deal of distress, as you would expect.
Exactly.
We also had some submissions, and as I've said, also people were telephoning our hotline, and sometimes with very serious concerns and very serious stories. What we've done since is to publish what we call an issues paper, which is available on the website of the Royal Commission, that is that is called Emergency Planning and Response. And we're asking people to tell us about their experiences during this time of emergency, and also during the bushfires as well.
Yes.
Which was another example of a terrible situation and an emergency where many people with disability would have experienced hardship. So we're asking people to think about how what their experiences have been and what they can tell us and what they suggest would improve the situation in future.
Exactly.
If we go through further emergencies, which one way or another, unfortunately, I'm sure we will.
And with the different people who come to the table with their experiences as such, it helps you navigate into the future regarding how to help people with disability who are in the situation, yes?
Absolutely, and it does it in a number of ways, but one is that we take into account the submissions, and the many of those will be referred to one way or another in the reports that we prepare, both our interim report, which is due late this year, and our final report, which is due in 2022. Also, sometimes the people who tell us their stories give evidence at hearings, and perhaps some of your listeners have seen or heard of the hearings that we've already held on such matters as health, the health system and the way in which it deals with people with cognitive disability. We've had a hearing on education actually in Townsville, so that some of the stories that we hear then get dealt with in the public hearings and come to the attention of a very wide group of people indeed.
Fantastic. So you are encouraging people with disability, as well as their families, advocates and experts, to provide information about how emergency planning and responses can improve. So how do they contact you, Ronald?
Well, they can do it by putting forward submissions that can be sent to us by email. They can do it by telephones. And if they go to the website of the Royal Commission, they'll find all the details as to how they can get in touch with us through a hotline. And they can make submissions in either written form, they can do it orally, verbally, or they can do it in other ways. So the information is all there on the website, and I would encourage people to have a look and see what suits them as to the way in which they would like to make their views known.
Well, they are Australians as well, and they do need that support, and we need to not forget about them and neglect them. And so it's very important that the space that you're working in, the Chair Ronald Sackville, AOQC, and that's of the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability. I thank you very much for your time, Ronald. All the best to you and your team and your family, and stay safe, Ronald.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity, and all the best to your listeners. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. a deadly yarn there with the Chair, Ronald Sackville, AOQC, of the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability. And they are seeking information about the experiences of people with disability during the recent emergencies in Australia. That's the fire that we've had earlier this year, and also with COVID-19 upon us here at the moment. So, yeah, tell your experiences so they can work out ways of supporting and helping you mob out there. Fantastic. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And yarning with Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Carry, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Too deadly.
We are fighting for our rights in the land of the indigenous. We got to stand up for our rights. Australian bites to the coral gates of the Torres Straits. Know where we all stand in the land of the indigenous. The voices of this land and the spirit of the Torres Strait. Come together as one in the land of indigenous.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBM 98.7 FM.
Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, mob, we are operating in a different world at the moment thanks to COVID-19. World has been turned upside down in all facets: school, education, employment, finance. And look, the other thing is very important, this space that we're living in, is the need for transparency has never been more important than during our current economic crisis. And look, that's talking about fundraising, what have you, and using all the tools available, social media, for fundraising for the economy and for people who are at need. We're going to catch up with Yarn there with Dr. Sanjaya Kararupu from Uni South Australia Business, and just to talk about the transparency. On the line, Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, yeah, we're living in a different world at the moment. But you mentioned the fact that the need for transparency has been more important than during our current economic crisis in regards to fundraising and what have you, and making money to support the needy, so to speak. But your concern probably is more so scammers in this space. Would that be correct?
Yes, Trevor, that's a strong possibility at the moment. Unfortunately, during crises, the number of scams that we're seeing around has only increased. And it's trying, these people are trying to take away money from our most vulnerable and needy at a time when they're already down. So it is quite shameful. But unfortunately, because these crises create opportunities for people to not necessarily vet the information that they're presented with, they're already stressed, they might actually fall prey or fall victim to some of these scams without even knowing it.
Well, like an example you got here is the staggering $50 million raised by Celeste Barber is a notable example on during the Facebook's fundraising feature for the fire recently in Australia. What are you talking about, like a third party as well? If you're going through avenues like so, are you saying the money doesn't get to the grassroots is what you're saying?
Yeah, so I have to first of all start and say that I think Celeste Barber's campaign was very well intentioned.
Sure.
It's not necessarily a scam. It wasn't trying to victimize people.
Thank you.
It was just a good cause that became much larger than I think Celeste or her campaign really thought it would be. Initially, she only wanted to raise $30,000 for the New South Wales Fire Brigades Trust. But because of her popularity and because of the campaign's popularity itself, end up raising more than $50 million, as you said. So this is a vastly different sum from what they initially intended.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what that meant is because of the Facebook campaign, a lot of the funds in Australia that are raised through Facebook go to the PayPal Giving Fund. And the PayPal Giving Fund, in its terms and conditions, specifically states that it retains exclusive control over all donations. So that means that when you donate through Facebook here in Australia, you're essentially giving up a fair bit of control to a third party, and that third party may end up doing something with that money that you originally didn't intend.
Are we talking the full 100% of that money?
Yes. So PayPal actually donates the full 100% of the money to the charity. It claims that it does here in Australia, but the problem is that sometimes that money can take between 15 to 90 days to actually get to that particular charity. So when you're channeling this money through a third party like Facebook or through the PayPal Giving Fund, and there are many others like GoFundMe is another popular platform that people use, it takes a lot more time to actually get to the charity, get in their hands, and then get to the people that need it. So that's actually one of the key things that happened with Celeste Barber's campaign, is a lot of the money is now tied up in legal discussions because, firstly, they can't distribute that money to other states. So rather than just New South Wales.
Just New South Wales,
To donate to the South Australian emergency, to families of victims that had suffered, etc. But they couldn't actually do that legally. So now they're talking about, well, how do we distribute this vast amount of money to the victims that need it most? And unfortunately, every delay means that people don't have access to that money. They can't spend it. So they're kind of in limbo. Unfortunately, that's what can happen when you donate through a third-party means.
So when you look at the situation with Celeste Barber, for example, even though she was the she gave birth to this funding as such, raising money, she had no say in the matter where the money would go.
Yes, it's one of those things when you're setting up one of these fundraising campaigns, you do have to be very careful about how you lay out the terms and conditions, exactly which charity you're donating to, and you also have to have an understanding of various contingencies. For instance, if you get over your target funding, what are you going to do to divvy up the funds to perhaps other worthy causes?
Exactly.
And another interesting example would be the GoFundMe page set up by an American comedian for Quaden Bales, who was a young schoolboy who was bullied
at school. Yes, exactly. Now the
That's
young
right.
brother.
They raised over $700,000 that campaign to take Quaden and his family to a trip to Disneyland. His family actually declined that kind offer, yes, and suggested perhaps the money could be used for better purposes.
Mm.
So now they're discussing, well, how do we actually divvy up that money to other purposes? And if people have donated thinking that they were going to send Quaden to Disney, do they then get a refund?
That's a
question, because maybe, yes, they didn't want to donate to the Red Cross or to other worthy charities that might be working in the space of, you know, youth and youth abuse or helping with bullying, etc.
Mm. Well, charities are doing their bit to raise money, but if an individual loves or support that charity and they do it on their own bat, well, the charity is appreciative of it, but then their hands are tied too regarding the money coming back to them in that case, yeah?
Exactly. It can be a bit of a tricky situation. So my recommendation would be, if anyone's interested, and I think it's fantastic, in the current environment we need more people to show that sense of community, to show that care for fellow Australians. So it's great that people are thinking of doing it, but if you are trying to raise funding for various charities or various causes, then it often helps to first talk to some of the experts within those organizations and get an understanding of, well, first, what do they really need the money for?
Mm.
So with Celeste Barb's example, unfortunately, given the trustee deed that was set up, they could only spend that money, that $50 million, on equipment and resources for training some of the brigades in New South Wales. They couldn't even channel that money to fallen firefighters, for instance.
Well, that's a lot of firemen helmets, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
$50 million, exactly,
often,
yeah.
It's a good idea to talk to the people in those organizations and ask them, what do they need the money for? And then clearly state these in any fundraising campaigns that you want to run. And also ask those experts, well, do they have existing mechanisms or administration structures to channel the money through? Maybe they have their own website that's perfectly adequate to receiving money. Or maybe they do have a preference to go through PayPal Giving or GoFundMe or some sort of other platform. In which case, at least if you talk to them beforehand, you know that the money will get to them in the best way possible so they can spend it on who needs it most.
So I suppose a communication with the charity as such, and you, the individual or the organisation who's going to go raise money for that charity, is to have that communication first. Is that right?
I agree. I really strongly think so, because otherwise what we have seen with Quaden Bales and with Celeste Barber's campaigns is really well-intentioned campaigns.
Of course.
May come unstuck. And then the money is stuck in no man's land. No one has access to it. And which is unfortunate both for the people who've donated, because they really want their money to go somewhere worthy, and also for the people who really need that money, they just can't get their hands on it.
So in actual fact, if the communication was done from the get-go for Celeste Barber in regard to the New South Wales Fire Department, well, we're looking for $1 million we need to raise. We can, okay, let's raise $1 million. Oh, we've got $50 million here, so the $49 million or anything thereafter will divvy it out to all the other states and territories.
Exactly.
And then anything extra, then put it towards people who've lost their homes. I mean, so have all that communication on the table, so to speak, you know. And if you go over and above
That's
beyond
right.
in regard to the money coming back, then yes, you go with that plan of attack. But if you only come up with 20,000, well, it goes to New South Wales Fire Department if that's the case.
Exactly. So it's all about having those contingencies up front,
yes,
well ahead of time before people donate money. So then you don't have to worry about people requesting donations or people getting upset that their, you know, money wasn't going to the original purpose or being divvied up to some other purpose that they didn't necessarily intend or align with in the first place. So having your values up front, having that
yes.
narrative of what you're doing, why you're doing it, to whom you're going to give this funding to, I think is really important.
So, Doctor, to finish off our conversation, just to because to open up the conversation regarding the current economic crisis we're living in at the moment, thanks to COVID-19, because we do have a lot of people out there who are not scammers, who've got big hearts and are passionate
yes.
About their fellow man, and they're looking at doing something to raise some monies. Here are the potholes in regard to that pathway that you're about to take, yeah?
Yes, so I mean that generosity should be really encouraged.
Mm.
And sorry, you were breaking up a little bit there, Trevor. So I'm having to read between the lines. That's exactly the question there.
Oh yeah, just saying for the people who decide to do it. Yeah,
it's about doing your due diligence.
Exactly. All right.
Potential
yes.
Potential donor. So my recommendation would be to first of all try and, without falling victim to just a random phone call or a text message or an email where people are asking you to donate funds, do not give your bank account details to anyone who approaches you in that mechanism unless you can verify their identity very strictly.
Sure.
If you can, you can always just pause the conversation and say, okay, well, thank you. Thanks for letting me know about your charity. I'm just going to do some research on my own first.
Mm-hmm.
And then donate if I feel that it's a worthy cause. So you can do some of that research by going to the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission website. All of the registered charities in Australia have to be registered there, whether they're small, medium or large. There are certain exemptions in terms of some of the annual reporting that needs to be done, but at least it gives you an idea of the charity, who's involved, who's running it. You can actually vet some of these charities and see if they line up with who you are as a person first, and then donate. That would probably be a more secure way of ensuring that your money gets to the people that need it the most.
Are you also saying, before I leave you, Doctor, are you saying to do your due diligence, your homework, in regarding using Facebook and GoFundMe pages as such? Are you saying that?
I would actually say that. I mean, I think it's fantastic that a lot of people are starting up these campaigns, but one of the key things with donating through a social media or third-party platforms is you have to realize that these platforms do not guarantee that the information that's posted on them is true or representative of the final cause.
Yes.
So, for instance, GoFundMe, which is another very popular fundraising platform, and it was actually the platform used, I believe, to raise that $700,000 for Clayton Bales.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically state in their terms and conditions, we do not and cannot verify the information that users or campaigns supply, nor do we represent or guarantee that the donations will be used in accordance with any fundraising purpose or ... with applicable laws. So really what they're saying is the donor has to do their due diligence. The donor has to make sure that they are comfortable with this particular page and who it's getting to. So my recommendation would always be, think of this donation like an investment. You're trying to maximize the social, environmental, community returns from that money. It's not financial benefits you're looking for, but you're looking for other outcomes.
Sure.
If you're trying to maximize those outcomes, make sure you do a little bit of research, even just quickly Google, like, the fundraising campaign. Quickly Google the charity.
Do your homework is what you're saying, Doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. Do they have activities that they've reported on in the past? Do you like what they've done? You know, do they feed young children, or is it more education? Is it more about advertisements that stop, say, abuse? Like, what is it that they do, and then donate?
Fantastic. Beautiful information. And like I said, the space that we live in at the moment, there's a lot of people who are struggling due to loss of work or finances. And the world we live in is very just deep, so to speak, in regard to support and looking for support. So need to do your due diligence regarding supporting the peoples out there in this space. Doctor, thank you very much for your time. All the best to you. You take care, and more importantly, stay safe, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Take care and much appreciated.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there, Dr. Sanjaya Karupu, and he's from the University of South Australia Business, and he's talking about the need for transparency has never been more important than during our current economic crisis with COVID-19 upon us. And the needy out there, and the people want to help the needy, be careful of the avenue you use in regarding fundraising. Do your due diligence regarding Facebook, GoFundMe pages and things like that. So do your bit to make sure you dot your I's across your T's. All right, to Daily Mob, stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Give me a call, add to the conversation on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time here on National Talk Black, BBM 98.7 FM.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember
the day. To help protect our elders, older people and our community from the spread of coronavirus, new restrictions on public gatherings and access to remote communities are now in place. Only two people can be at a public place together. This can be enforced and fines may apply. These restrictions do not apply to members of the same household. You should also limit visitors to your home. Everyone should stay at home as much as possible, unless shopping for food or essential items, receiving medical care, exercising, or travelling to work or education. To support our elders to stay home, offer to help pick up and deliver their groceries and medicines. There are also new restrictions on visiting remote communities to protect them from the virus. Check the details with your local state or territory government. Let's keep our mob safe. Visit australia.gov.au for the latest advice.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Radio Service. We go across the country, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to go to the segment now, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here once a week, and a healthy living, healthy lifestyles message we deliver there. And this is with the Edmonton Police, and we're going to catch up a yarn now with John Levi on the line, Senior Constable Cultural Unit. John, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my friend. So you're holding the fort, and Rob Hollingsworth is not with us today, and Senior Sergeant Glenda Lye, so you're the man.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Now, the work you've been doing regarding COVID-19 and the homelessness, so tell us about the space you're working in there, please, John.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've had Rob, he's been good. He jumped on board the other day, and he'll be helping us out further. Basically, we're working in partnership with Kapani Warriors, the WOW, so the Wellness Wheels of Wellness,
yep,
Safer Streets, PCYC also, and we're getting out and about, and we're trying to spread the word about the coronavirus and getting out to our most at-risk community members.
And when we talk about the homelessness, you know, the people out there on the streets, we are focused on COVID-19 on our families and on our elders, but there's a market there that we are sort of forgetting. It's great to see that you're working in this space.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's important to get on the ground, and that's what we're doing, and we're achieving that, getting on the ground and going to those people that are displaced and rough sleeping, and then spreading the message as well. And we've got a couple of different notices that we can provide and different material that we've got. And the newest one that's been available is about, again, social distancing and 1.5 metres. But we've got them written up in Creole.
Yes,
beautiful. So we're getting these messages written up in language.
Yes.
And that way it's the message is getting through.
Fantastic. Are you finding the communication with the people in the streets? They don't have no laptop, they don't have no radio, they don't have no TV. They were aware of COVID-19?
Yeah, they are. They're getting the message through, or we are getting the message through.
Mm.
It's a process of getting down. It's getting out there and talking to people.
Yes.
Making those connections, and most importantly, those connections are made with the assistance of our police liaison officers, like Robbie, getting out there and just getting in there and having those connections and family connections.
Look, and communication is the key. Look, and you're working in a very important space there, and the message is getting out. So you're finding that throughout the state or throughout law enforcement, officers are delivering that message to the homelessness?
Well, we are seeing that message get out. I can only talk about here, I guess, the Cairns of Far North District.
Yes.
But, the message is getting out there. And look, we are getting assistance. We are getting from, Department of Housing as well, linking into other agencies, Department of Education, the hubs, for example, the Murraway Hub as well is assisting. There's been a bit of messaging going on about Plaza Palms.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working closely with Murraway Hub in relation to the, Plaza Palms and helping with that message of the coronavirus.
Look, which is very important, and it's a team effort, and it's about community working together. So love the work that the space you're working in. And John, thank you very much for sharing, and we'll continue doing what you're doing there. And big shout out to Rob Hollingsworth, who's not with us today, and the mob there at Edmonton Police. Thank you very much, John.
No worries. And just lastly, I'll just look, if for those people that are listening, just there's a couple of lines, phone numbers out there. There's 1-800-173-349. That's the community recovery hotline. The other one is the 1-602, which is the Cairns local coronavirus hotline. So there's much more information out there. And the website, the Cairns Safer Streets, or one word, .com.au. /COVID-19. Again, it's got a lot of good information that can assist people out there and your listeners.
Fantastic, John. All the best to you. Thank you very much. You take care and stay safe, brother.
Right, thank you. You too. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yandi, John Levi, his name is. He's a senior constable cultural unit and talking about the work they're doing, Edmonton Police and COVID-19 and the homelessness and helping the our brothers and sisters out there on the streets and communicating with them, which is very important. And we seem to neglect focusing on our own families and our own life. So, look, beautiful work there. Fantastic. You mob can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball around Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Macquarie. And we are live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Had a caller there from Mackay talking about, inquiring about the situation with Addo Carr and Mitchell in regarding NRL players who are out and about and, were doing wrong by catching up with family and with mob in regard to the space we're living in, COVID-19, and they did step over the line in regard to distance situation regarding keeping apart from other peoples. Well, the New South Wales police allegedly fined them $1,000 each, and also they were also fined $50,000 by the NRL, and also Tuesday, Tyrone Roberts Davis and Nathan Cleary were fined $10,000 for doing the same thing. Now, Josh Addo Carr and Latrell Mitchell did talk about going out there, catching up with mob and in a situation where culture is making them stronger in the space that we're all living in at the moment. And that was their excuse, but they've copped it on the chin and adhered to the rules and know that they've done wrong and paying the price for it. And they apologise immensely. But that was a conversation that that went about in regarding their space and the work that they do as NRL professional footballers. Yeah, had a caller call in and say that we didn't talk about that. A lot of stuff talking at the moment, and that's one topic that we did miss. So there you go. And if you want to add to that conversation, please give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Do you feel as though that the boys, they did do wrong. They got fined for it, hit him in the hip pocket, but dangerous for people out there who we Australians trying to curve that, flatten that curve, so to speak. Do you think that they should have done more in regarding the fine that they received? I don't know. Add to the conversation. Tell us how you feel. Open up for yarns here on National Talk Black with the Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. And that deadly number again, 1-800-422-416.
I got this box in the mail the other week. Thought it was a Prezi. It wasn't. It was a test to detect my risk of bowel cancer. I took a look and there's no shame. It's clean. You can do it in your own home and it's free. I feel deadly, but it turns out that bowel cancer can develop without symptoms. But 90% of cases can be successfully treated if found early. Most people are sweet, but if you're not, chances are you can do something about it. If you're an Aboriginal man or woman, aged 50 to 74, when you get the bowel screening test in the mail, do it. If you need help, sing out to your local Aboriginal health worker or see your doctor.
Station sponsor.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. You can give us a call and have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Torres Strait Regional Authority, that's TSRA, is offering a specific COVID-19 related community initiative grant round for community organisations in the Torres Strait and Northern Peninsula area region. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Chairperson, Mr. Pedro Napal-Stephen, on the line. A very good morning, Mr. Stephen. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor, and debate him to your listeners out there.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
I'm from the Eastern Island. My mom is from Moore Island in the west, but dad is actually from Ugar. So I'm an Ugar Amle from Meriam Nation.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And so community response initiatives for funding to sustain operations that are essential to the community to provide additional community support initiatives during and after pandemic. So you are being proactive, the TSRA, in regarding supporting your mob up there in the Torres Straits. Tell us in what areas are you supporting them?
Well, firstly, we actually supporting those of our clients with the existing business finance scheme and ownership program. So if small business have already taken loan out with TSRA, we have put a moratorium of 6 months on their loan. They okay. don't have to pay, and we review that, same as home ownership. If people actually have taken home ownership out with us, we've relieved that pressure on financial pressure on them for yes. 6 months, and review that in 6 months' time. We also currently have actually put out a special community initiative grant round to invite community organization to apply for funding in for initiatives that helps reduce the spread of COVID-19 in our region, mm-hmm. support community to expand essential services and infrastructure during the COVID-19 pandemic, and to support communities as they recover from COVID-19 pandemic. So there's already been initiative that has been enacted by certain of our NGOs. And I think that if they can work with smaller groups, they'll be eligible to apply for the funding of this special round funding that would actually, it's open, and it will close at 5 p.m. on Monday, 1st of June.
Okay. Plenty of time for people to apply and put the applications in, yes.
Well, that's right. And if you want to know any more information, you can look at our website, the TSRA website, or contacting TSRA on our landline of 0740-690-700.
And look, thank you very much. And look, the many challenges due to the influence of COVID-19 means we have to operate business in a different way. And a body as TSRA is stepping up and doing its job, yes?
Yeah, I think that one of the things is that, can I acknowledge the effort of our local councils in our region here?
Yes.
The Torres Shire Council, the Torres Strait Island Regional Council, and the Northern Peninsula Regional Council that covers Cape York, the Northern Tip, to actually assist with them. And it's a privilege that we do work with them, and right down to the TOs in our community. And I think that this is a, you know, not just a whole of government approach. It's really, it's all of us. Mm. Family, and I think that...
Well, the phrase they're using is, we are all in this together, and that's the case, well, isn't it?
well, that's true. And I think that we've just gone over, acknowledged the Anzac Day ceremony, and this is that silent war that we actually, you know, we all affected by it, and we can only overcome that by individual doing the right thing.
Exactly. And there's been no cases in the Torres Straits with a COVID-19 patient, which is great news.
And we keep our fingers crossed, and
exactly.
that's why we can't afford, because we live in a small community, and
yes.
you know, just have one. We've actually already seen what's happened in Cairns, that you have essential workers coming in, and then they affect someone, and in our community where 90% is chronic disease, not only our elders but the whole community, and if we get one case, that will spread like a wildfire through our communities, and we all need to be accountable for each other, and actually and adhere to the restriction. And I think that it's I would like to talk. There's a lot of families. I want to lobby to them that whilst we'll see the restriction lighten up and there'll be some restriction lifted, it doesn't mean that you as an individual start going into a relaxed mode.
Exactly.
I think if it's it's ever that increased vigilance and responsibility that we have for each other and for our community, that we must hold that standard. Mm. And I think that we don't want to wait then because some case will be new cases open up and then restriction put on us, or some people who think that they can go about doing their own thing, then hold ransom to the rest of our community. We can't afford that.
Exactly. We can't be too complacent, you know. I mean, there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel, but we still need to tread softly and tread carefully, yep?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right, my brother. That word, the complacency. Because I think that I think even now that we have to prepare how we will do business, you know, after COVID-19, because it's actually going to be, we have to change our mindset.
Yes.
We have to change us working as individual and as a family on how we're going to do business.
Mm.
And I think we need to be talking about it. Mm. We need to be planning now in this waiting time. No, wait till everything finish and then...
Then make the arm.
Yeah. We actually see other standard or other way of doing business. Instead of we see that as a proactive way, we go defensive.
Mm, exactly.
You know, we start complaining again. I mean, complaining is one big business blow, Australians.
True.
mankind as a whole.
Exactly.
Because we're a bunch of whingers.
Well, best to be safe than sorry. So here we are now in an upside-down world we're living in. Well, let's talk, let's communicate, let's plan and make it all right when we come out of this, that we that it doesn't come back.
You know, one thing that I've seen, even looking at the way that we do traditionally, we do stuff, or culturally we do stuff, it's a opportunity given to us to really examine, and we say in our language a system on how we do business, because sometimes we actually have bought in other things that are necessary for the culture of loss.
Yes.
But we bring in other stuff then that we call it culture now. And these are things that we need to actually examine, and we need to bring things right again.
Mm.
You know, right the wrongs.
That's right the wrongs, right the wrongs. And look, our mob, you know, on the mainland here, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, cultural people, and we were a very, healthy living race, and our culture was our foundation for strength in all department. It looks at, it makes us look back at our culture and to be strong with our culture.
Yeah, and that's why we have to take that leading, that we have to be the leading light.
Exactly.
We have to take leadership in all aspects of what's happening after COVID-19.
Mm.
It's not, you know, we have to be responsive,
mm.
not actually wait like we've actually done before, being reactive to something.
Mm.
We have to be proactive in actually looking, and it's like driving a boat, I suppose. You've got a really good boat that's been a fishing boat for your families. It bought in a lot of stuff, but in times like this, it needs to go up in the slip.
Sure.
It has to go up in the slipway and remove all barnacles.
That's a clean that boat and do that, work on it, do the refit, do what you need to do to protect that vehicle, yes?
Vessel. And that's what we do, the way that we do our culture.
Yes.
We need to actually go back, remove the foreign things that we bought up and mm-hmm. actually, you know, made it to be part of our culture, that we need to do that audit.
As an island man, that's a deadly analogy there, my brother. That's too deadly. That's beautiful. Nicely explained.
Well, I think that once you do it now, your boat once you
speed.
Put your boat back in the water, it'll steam and reach its destination.
Beautiful. Look, a fantastic and a very important conversation. It's great to be communicating with you, Chairperson, Mr. Pedro Napal-Steven, TSRA, doing a fantastic job. Big shout out to your mob up there. And look, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We need to keep doing what we need to do regarding the rules upon us. But thank you very much for sharing, and all the best. Yeah. And you keep safe.
No, thank you, brother. And thank you for your radio station to keep in our families in touch.
Beautiful. Thank you. All the best to you, Pedro. You take care.
Yep. God bless.
God bless. A beautiful yarn there with the chairperson of TSRA, and that's the Torres Strait Regional Authority, Mr. Pedro Napal-Steven, and AM that is, and giving us the update on what's happening in the Torres Straits. And of course, and great news, there's no cases of the COVID-19, but also talking about the space that he's working in regarding grant round for community organisation in Torres Straits and Northern Peninsula area, and applications are now open. And open right through till Monday, 1 June, till 5 p.m. So support to the mob up there in the Torres Straits, and the TSRA are doing their job. Fantastic. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. First Nation radio station here at BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly. We're going to go to someone now on the line. Someone, you there? Good morning. Hello, someone? Oh, nope. Someone not there. Brother, give me a call back. Brother, give me a call back, someone. And to your local mob, Trinity Trevor, continue the program. Special COVID-19 program locally until 1 p.m. So if you miss me today, which is usually looking at the case, then you can contact me on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text me 045-714-0550. And also Facebook page of BBM 98.7 FM. We've got the news coming up here very soon. Thank you, mob, for your company. And look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and more importantly, stay safe. And we'll be yarning soon. Too deadly.
Place you me call him all ground or key.